Good morning and welcome to the Victory Worship Service. It is so good to be granted the privilege of joining you in your living room this morning for another Sunday morning of worship. And today I want to invite your attention to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 as we wrap up our study on the foundations of our faith. And we'll begin in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. There we find these words. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and are not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as seemed best to them. But He, our prophet, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that You will open our eyes to see Your Word, that we may learn of You, that we may grow in You, Lord, from this study. Lord, I pray that You grow our faith, that we'll not become Christians who are satisfied where we are, but rather, Lord, that we be a zealous people to grow in knowledge of You and in service of You. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, most of all, we pray for those this morning who are watching. I pray for those who do not know You as their personal Savior, that, Lord, You will draw them to You and they will come to You for salvation today before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. We start this morning just a very short review. And we've been looking in the previous chapter, chapter 11, the great men and women, for that matter, of faith who have set an example for us to follow. Men like Abraham, Moses, Samson, Gideon, David. These were indeed great men, wonderful examples of faith for us to follow. But as I look and I think of those guys, I am reminded that a lot of the lessons we learn from them are lessons of what not to do. And we learn from them because of their mistake. For example, Abraham, you learn that God doesn't need your help to make His plan happen. And from Moses, you learn never take matters into your own hands. God will do His planning and do His will in good time. And David, you learn to never become involved in immoral relationships. All these good men, but the lessons that we learned were lessons that of the mistakes that they had made. And now we're going to shift gears. No more are we looking back at these guys of the Old Testament. Now we're looking, verse 2, to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that word look, it means to turn your complete, absolute attention toward Jesus so that there is no other distraction, fix your eyes upon the ultimate, absolute, greatest example that any Christian could possibly have, that being Jesus Christ. And having such a gaze upon Jesus Christ that nothing, even more specifically, no circumstance that you may face is going to distract you from your ultimate example, Jesus Christ. Are you sick? Don't let that sickness get in the way. Are you sorrowful? Are you hurting? Are you depressed, anxiety? Whatever that you're facing today, the challenge is, hey, look to Jesus. He's the example. He's the one to learn from, and look to Him with such a passion to follow in His footsteps that you absolutely refuse to let anything get in your way of walking in faith. Jesus, our courage in days of conflict. Jesus, it says in verse 2, that Jesus endured the cross. And let's just take a look at what He did. He endured the cross. That word endure, it doesn't mean to simply put up with. It means to face with courage. He endured the hostility of the crowd who cried out, "Crucify! Crucify!" He endured the crown of thorns. He endured the beating of the Roman soldiers. He endured being nailed hands and feet to that cross. He endured hanging there as people would go by and mock Him. He faced all that with courage, even despising the shame. There in verse 2, it says, despising the shame as He sat down and has sat down at the right hand of God. That word despise means to think nothing of. You know, it's something that as you would notice that it's so insignificant that you wouldn't even allow your attention to go there. Jesus, despising the shame, or thinking nothing of the shame that He was bearing. You understand, crucifixion was the punishment of a common criminal, a thug, a thief, a murderer, an insurrectionist. This was the lowest of the low form of punishment that you could inflict upon anyone. It was the absolute shame in society of that day. And Jesus never even thought. He said, how could he have such courage going to a cross? How could He ignore the shame that would be involved with His crucifixion for the joy, verse 2 again, for the joy that was set before Him? He never focused on what He was experiencing. He never focused on the circumstance, but the victory that was on the other side of the struggle. The result that He was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That's what His focus was on. The result that He would be seated at the right hand of God the Father. That was where His vision was cast. The result that every sin of every saint of the Old Testament would be forgiven. That every sin of every New Testament saint would be forgiven. That every sin that Doug Hambrick had completed. He looked 2,000 years in advance and saw Doug Hambrick, who would call upon Him making Jesus Christ the Lord of his life. And he said, that's my focus, not this crucifixion, not the sorrow, not the shame. Jesus saw the joy. So what do we learn from Jesus' example? Well, it's pretty easy. You can't focus on what you're going through. You cannot make your circumstances the focus of your life. The hardship, the trials, the temptation. You have to look beyond those circumstances to the end result, or you'll never get to the end result. You know, this morning I want to ask you, why are you a person of faith? You're not a person of faith because it looks good. You're not a person of faith because you have nothing else to do on Sundays when you go to church. You are a person of faith because as you look ahead, you know that there has been a place prepared for you, eternal in the heavens. You are a person of faith because you know you have been placed upon this earth to make an impact on the lives of others. Why do you do what you do? I can tell you. So that your children will be saved because of your faith. So that your grandchildren will be saved because of your faith. So that your friends will be saved because of your faith. I'm saying this. Simply do not get wrapped up on what's immediately happening in the right here and right now. Always be able to look to the future for where you're going. Paul put it like this. I'm striving, pressing toward the mark. You've got to see the mark. The finish line, the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Second example, Jesus, not only is He our courage, He's our comfort in times of discouragement. See, there is a danger, and I must confess to you today, sometimes being a person of faith is difficult. And verse 3, the writer of Hebrews points that difficulty out as he says, "For consider him who endured the hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul." Have you ever been discouraged in your soul? I mean, that's deep when you are just physically or mentally or emotionally drained. And you come to that point that you question, why am I doing what I'm doing? You come to the point where you say, I'm just tired. I can't do this anymore. And if you serve the Lord long enough, you will at some point likely come to that time where you just say, I don't know if I can take the next step or not. What do? You consider our example, Jesus, again, who suffered such hostility from sinners and kept going to the cross of Calvary. He faced Calvary. And kept going. He paid our sin debt in full and rose victorious from death, hell, and the grave. And when you consider all that Jesus has done, I want to challenge you. Take a realistic look at where you are. The reality of your circumstances. See, that's what he's saying here. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Verse 4. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Well, let me just put it in language that you and I can easily understand. When he says you've not resisted yet until bloodshed, striving against sin, he's saying you don't have it nearly as bad as you think you do. You have not given your life as a sacrifice for your faith. And it's interesting, that word bloodshed, it means a violent death. And he's saying you have not met with a violent death as Jesus did because of who you are. Times that we all get discouraged. But we get discouraged at the most insignificant things. The reason I say that is because there's been times I've been discouraged when someone said something they shouldn't have said. You know what? The reality of that is big deal. We get upset or we get discouraged because the church does not go the direction that we think they should go, or they don't vote in a business meeting like we think they should vote. We let those little insignificant things tear us down in our faith. Listen, let's take a reality check. Have you ever been arrested for your faith? I haven't. Have you ever been beaten because you're a Christian? I have not. Have you ever been physically assaulted in any way? No, I can't say that I have. The fact is that the present circumstances that you may be going through pales in comparison to what Jesus went through on your behalf. So before you start complaining and whining about what everybody else is doing wrong and about how bad you've gotten and how sick you are and how hard life is for you, just take a look and back up and say and ask yourself, what did Jesus do for me? And when you take a real realistic look at what Jesus did for you, you back up and you decide, maybe I just need to suck it up, buttercup. Maybe I just need to get serious and quit letting these insignificant things that Satan is putting in my path get in the way of my growing faith. If Jesus could endure the cross for me, I can surely endure this present circumstance for Him. Jesus is our encouragement. And I'll tell you what, when you look at the way Jesus went to the cross, it should make us want to face each day with that kind of courage and that kind of zeal and desire and dedication. Jesus, our correction. Oh, I love the last part of the text that we're reading here. It says in verse 5, "Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives." Listen, Jesus is our course correction. And what you have to understand is, growing in faith is vital to every believer. If you're not growing, you're backing up. Your faith is getting weaker. You can't stay where you are. And beloved, there is only one way you can grow. And that is by experience. That's why we're told in verse 5, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. And when we see that word chastening, we think punishment. Do not despise the punishment. It's not punishment. It is rather instruction, training, correction. It carries that idea. Now there are times when we go down a wrong road and God has to grab us by the ear and drag us back over and say, "No, this you don't belong here. Let's get you back on the straight and narrow." There are those times, but this is not isolated to those times of straightening you out, but rather it's referring to the overall instruction plan that God has for you. I may experience hardship because I reap what I've sown. That's simply the law of sowing and reaping. That's not the punishment of God, okay? And so I want you to understand this scripture right here. It's not just talking about God pouring out His wrath on you. It's God caring enough to teach you. You know, there's no greater compliment that you can pay towards someone than taking the time to teach them. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is pointing out to the believer. That God's desire is simply to train His children. And the only way to train His children is by experience. You gotta do it. Put it into practice. Listen, you can read a book all you want to, but until you practice it, you're not gonna know how to do something. And that's true in the Bible. You know, I'm always saying, get in the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. And absolutely you do. But don't just read it. Take it and apply it and learn how to apply it. Because the only way that you're going to grow in faith is to grow by experience. So before you start whining and complaining, stop and consider what God's trying to do. So oftentimes we say, "Oh, I don't want to be here and I don't understand." If we just back up and ask ourselves the question, what is God trying to teach me? Last verse, verse 11. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. You got to understand, God is trying to do something awesome in your life. He's trying to teach you so that you may grow. He's not trying to ruin your life. So in actuality, where you are is a blessing of God. a blessing that God's taking the time to take you through His education course, if you will, so that you can learn and grow in Him. Listen, there's joy. There is joy to the believer, or for the believer, as we face these challenges in life. Verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens," or He instructs, He trains. Are you going through a tough period right now? Just back up and realize it's because God loves you. God's taking you through this and He's teaching you because He cares for you and He wants more for you than mediocrity and lukewarmness. That's why you're going through it. Verse 7, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Why am I going through this? Because God's dealing with me as His child. For what child is there that a father will not try and teach along the way? You see, there's joy there. It's all a matter of the perspective. If all you can see is your trial, if all you can see is your circumstance, you'll never know the joy of growing. You've got to be able to look to the other side. Then verse 8. If you're without chastisement, if you're without instruction, if you're without training, if you're without correction, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. I'm going to let that speak for itself. Listen, if you've never known the working of God, it's because you don't belong to God. If you've never felt God carry you through those tough times, it's because you don't know God. If you've never gone down that wrong road and God grab you and bring you back to the right road, it's because you don't know God. If you've never experienced the power of God carrying you through trials that you couldn't get through by yourself, you've not known the faithfulness of God through those trials, it's because you don't belong to God. Do you have that assurance that God's working in your life? Oh, I know there are times when God's hand is just so plain that you can't miss it. And there are other times when you have to look and really work sometimes to see God's hand. But if you belong to God, I promise you, you can go back and you can look back in your history. And you can cite instances where you know it was God that was carrying you through. Because you belong to Him. So what about the whole idea? Where have we gone with all this? Where are we today? Well, I want to share with you where we are today. I've often been asked, or several times been asked, is COVID-19 a judgment from God? Is that God punishing mankind for our disobedience? I don't know. I don't know the mind of God in such matters. If it's a judgment, I think it's a very mild judgment. Perhaps something that says, hey, you better wake up. But what I do know is that it is an opportunity for God's people to grow. It is an opportunity for us, the church, to excel in areas we've never excelled before. So at this point, you know, what have we learned? Well, one thing I've learned, and I've told you many times already, I'm learning not to take my church family for granted. Oh, it wasn't that I didn't appreciate the church family before this started, but you do without the church family for a little while and you realize how special they truly are. So one of my goals is in the future to be more intentional in treasuring my church family. What else have we learned? I've learned not to take my physical family for granted. Hadn't seen my children since all this started. I hadn't seen my grandchildren since all this started. And boy, I miss them. I've learned not to take the freedoms that we as Americans enjoy for granted. You know, ministry freedoms of meeting at church and even going to stores and just being able to do whatever it is we want to do. All a blessing of God. I've also learned that we as a church must be continually seeking new ways to expand our ministry. I'll be honest with you, before this started, I was very comfortable. I was very comfortable. Too comfortable. God has shown me that comfort leads to complacency. Friends, I want you to know, complacency has no place in the Lord's Word. Learning that I, as a pastor, we as a church have a responsibility to never be satisfied where we are. As I said a while ago, when we started this, man, I was very uncomfortable preaching in front of the camera, doing Facebook live sessions. Very uncomfortable. Getting used to it. Going to keep on doing it. Because I think it's the age in which we live. And I think it's needful. I've learned, most important lesson, God is always faithful. God has stood beside His church through this. I don't know if you know it or not. I want to give a word of encouragement to the Victory family. I'm so encouraged by the response of our membership. Our offerings have not suffered during this crisis. It's because God's people are being faithful, even though they cannot come to church. Praise God for a maturity of the people of Victory. I praise God that the technology has been available for us to continue ministry. I praise God that in the very near future, Lord willing, we'll be meeting together as a family again. Oh, there's a lot of things that I've learned, but I want to ask you at this point, what have you learned in this crisis? Have you learned fear? Have you learned complaining? Have you learned uncertainty? If those are your lessons, my friend, it's because you are focusing your eyes upon the circumstance instead of the Savior. You can't sit around and watch news all day. Fill yourself with the bad news and expect to have a joyous life. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage the membership of Victory. I want to encourage the staff of Victory. I want to encourage all of us. Let's continue to grow in our faith. Not in buildings, but in faith. You may be watching this broadcast this morning and you're not growing in faith because you've never started your walk of faith. Today, I want to ask you, why are you going through life without Jesus? You know you're facing the battles alone. You know that there's an emptiness inside you that nothing else can fill. You know that Jesus Christ gave His life as a sacrifice for your sin. And now today, you come to the realization that you need a Savior. I want to tell you this. Church membership won't do it. Trying to do better won't do it. Rededication won't do it. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave His life to pay for your sin debt. And now He offers you salvation freely as a free gift. And you've got to deal with that offering. Today, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Seeking forgiveness of sin, making Him the Lord of your life. I promise you, He'll save you. You say, Brother Doug, how do I know? You know because the Word of God says so. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you place your faith in Jesus Christ today, calling upon Him in prayer, asking for His salvation? Our Father, I pray for those that are watching this morning once again, that You will continue to grow faith in Your saints. I pray that, Lord, You will continue to grow the faith of Victory Baptist Church, that we will mature and grow stronger and stronger in You for Your honor and for Your glory. I pray most of all, Lord, for those who are lost today. I pray that they will realize the great love that You have demonstrated toward them by paying for their sin upon the cross of Calvary. And I pray that today they would call upon You for salvation. Lord, we love You and we praise Your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.